You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Everyone, thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. I'm Kara Cooper.
And I'm Jessica Rush. And today we have Broadway and West End star Rachel Tucker. She is joining us originally from Belfast. Rachel has made a career on both sides of the pond, starring as Elphaba both on Broadway and in the West End. She originated the role of Meg Dawson in The Last Ship on Broadway. And most recently, recently she was in Come From Away on Broadway, but before that, she was doing it in the West End, playing Beverly Bass, and for which she received an Olivier nomination. She had just barely started her run as Bass in the Broadway production when the coronavirus shuttered theater doors everywhere. So she is back in the UK, right? And she's here with us today for our season finale.
Hey, yeah. Hey, Welcome.
Hi. We have three time zones in the house right now.
Right? So many time zones. It's super early over here in Cali. Wow. And it's almost happy hour for Rachel. I mean,
it is. It's always happy hour for me.
I'm here for that, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Thank you so much for making this happen, Rachel.
This is such a pleasure. We have had a few technical hiccups, but we're here. I'm a little bit behind with the whole technical. So thanks for talking me through it, ladies.
Oh, no worries. No worries. This is crazy for everyone, like having to do it remotely. It's great because we can have people on who we maybe wouldn't normally get to access, who can't come to the studio, but at the same time, so many moving parts. But we are here. So.
So we usually, the first thing we ask all of our guests, because we feel like it's something that we don't get asked a lot, is to tell us about your children. So you have one child, right?
I do. I have. Kara, it's very true, actually. You know, the first thing they go to is you and what you're doing. And yeah, and usually you actually can't do anything until they're sorted, right? We know that, you know, just like now, before I come on, I had to sort him out, make sure he's, you know, so we don't get too many interruptions. But he's great. We have actually loved homeschooling Ben. Benjamin Ritali. He's 7 years old. And he's a joy. I mean, like most mothers would say, but he's been such a bright star and bright light and just so optimistic through lockdown and has loved being at home with mum and dad. And he has just loved the attention that we've been able to give him because of even though it has been schooling, we have found so much fun in it. And his reading and his writing and spelling and math has just really, we and I think he's so proud of himself because he's much more confident. And I'm not saying school wasn't doing their job, but there, let's be honest, there are 30 kids to two teachers here in London in his school, and it's the most beautiful, lovely school. But you will never get your mother and father's attention like
a teacher. Well, and especially. Exactly. And I think especially with being actor parents, well, your husband's a director, correct?
Yes.
Right? So like you guys, you know, Kara and I are both actor couples, and so we're gone a lot. So, you know, and I have an only as well. Elliot's an only. And I've noticed the same thing, just having us with her so much. I mean, it's such a rare occurrence, you know. I'm sure Ben is just thrilled to have you home all the time.
It is. And it's just actually finding the fun in a bit of education and not being too hard on him and knowing that we're just trying to do a little bit every day and making him feel confident with it. And, you know, he doesn't know he's missing out in school as such, you know, on his education. But just so that when he goes back in September, hopefully, touch wood, when we all go back to a bit of normal schooling in September, that he won't feel like, oh God, everybody's much more ahead or anything. We just don't want that feeling.
Is that first grade over there or second when he's seven?
I think he's second. It is called year two. So I think it is. Whereas in Northern Ireland, Belfast, where I come from, my sister's kids are in year one, but they're the same age. So it's just slightly different. Yeah.
Okay.
It's so funny that you mentioned the confidence thing, because I've seen that in my kids too. Even when we have started to socially distance socialize, just the way they interact, my kids are more confident after this time. And I don't know if that's because we're celebrating every milestone they reach or everything that they achieve in a way that maybe their teachers or whatever don't. I don't know. Or they just feel more supported because we're around all the time. Mm-hmm. But confidence is something I have seen. It's so interesting.
Just in itself, and just him knowing that, like, I really know how to spell because now, you know, he really does, you know, whereas got attention in school, they don't really set them down and do a spelling test. Well, here they don't, you know, because they're too young and not like Guy and I was, but, you know, with him writing little stories, he's a Star Wars addict. He just is addicted to Lego Star Wars. So we get him to write little paragraphs about what he would do on planet, you know, whatever.
And it
comes up a lot. And, you know, we go, wouldn't it be great if actually, because you write because a lot, wouldn't it be great to be able to know how to spell it? And he genuinely now wants to know how to spell it. You know, it's little things like that.
That's amazing. No, it's awesome. I think that when we look back on this time for some of us, I mean, I know it's been incredibly difficult and for some people, but I think when we look back on this time, we will discover that there were some gains and benefits to it all. You know, I mean, we've never spent this much time with Elliot in her entire life, all of us together. So, that does tend to be a bit of a blessing. So, what is it? And can you give us a little insight into what it's been like for you guys in London? Are you in London? Yeah.
Yes, I am. Yep. London, Southeast London, in a lovely little area called Penge. Of all the names, Penge. And it was very quiet for like 3 or 4 weeks. It was like ghost town everywhere, right? Which was and everybody was adhering to massive social distancing, lots of that. And then of course it eases off and things become back to a bit more normality, and it is. But you know, we haven't been into London. We've no need to go into London. We're just staying very locally. We've met a few friends. Nothing too extreme. I mean, honestly, like you say, that there's some of the things that we are very happy at home and being with each other and just staying very local and, you know, hunkers down and getting on with things like this. I'm doing a bit of singing teaching online and guys coaching, and I've been doing loads of kids workshops for young enthusiastic kids coming out of Northern Ireland, you know, trying to inspire them and teaching Zoom classes. And we've been very productive. And I think again, like not as productive as we would have been if this hadn't have happened. You know, obviously we don't want to be in this position, but we've really tried to make the best of our situations in lockdown, you know?
Yeah. I know it's hard. I mean, it's sometimes Kara and I say we're busier now than we were before this happened.
Holy smokes.
I don't want to say that, but that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
I felt like, how will I sound if I say, I am just busier now?
No,
that is so true. It's the truth right now. There's not a moment's rest, I feel like. It's like you wake up, you hit the ground running, and then by the end of the day, I'm toast. There's no respite.
So like you say, Jess, in the introduction, I had just started in Come From Way in New York. I did 10 shows, right? I was on my own.
That's it.
Yeah, 10 shows. And it was, we did Wednesday and then Yeah. Our Wednesdays was the last two. And we actually called it. We were like, guys, I think it's our last Wednesday, aren't we? For a while. So we did that and they weren't over with me. Our plan was that Ben and Guy, my husband, Guy, they would follow me out once I'm settled and up and running, and Ben, maybe for Ben's Easter term break. So they were going to come out then. Of course, we didn't make them. And then, so I flew back to the UK literally the next day. So that was Friday the 13th. For all the dates to plan. And all this craziness to happen. So yes, I didn't make it. But when I got home, I remember just like lying in our garden and in bed for about 3 weeks and just doing as little as possible. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, God, I'm so out of the loop of everything. And the ego side of me and the kind of social media side of me was like, oh, curious and itchy. But the other side of me was just like, this is what I have needed for about 2 years, to just not, for everything to stop for a second. And actually the whole world literally stopped, didn't it? And actually just enjoy not panicking and being out of work, but knowing that everybody else is, and there's no jobs going to be coming in. There's no addition pressure. There's no, we can't worry about money because there's nothing to be done. And I'm in a job anyway. You know, it's just like, there was so much pressure taken off. And then, like you say, Cara, you know, you end up going, you gas, foot to the gas, and you've then got to make the best out of what we're given and the situation. And then, of course, now it's like the gas is on too hard, and I just need to pull back a bit again, you know?
Well, it's like, because it's interesting you said that about 3 weeks, because Cara and I we were 3 weeks in when we recorded our first episode after all this started, because for those first several weeks, we didn't want to do anything either. You know, it's like all I did was eat a lot of Triscuits and cheese and drink a lot of rosé. I mean, it's like, you know, I just was giving in to every comfort that I wanted, you know, and I had no desire. I would see people like posting things and they're singing and they're doing this. And I was like, no, I can't. I can't. But then you get to this point where you're sort of like, this is life. This is going to be for a while. So we have to make peace with it to some degree and realize how best to utilize what we have. And like you said, it's true. It's like, for me, I was in Tina. So I have a job essentially, you know, in theory to go back to when it comes back. So it's not like, there is something about the lack of options. Like you don't even have to, worry about it. Like, am I keeping up with the Joneses in any way, you know, because there's nothing to do. But I think that part of why we're exhausted is because our children are home with us all day, right?
Yeah, it's like, that's right. And when that's the thing that has been the bit of a, because you're trying to do jobs like this on an interview or taking a lesson and he's coming and going, Mom, I can't. And you're like, but if you were at school, this would all be okay.
Right.
You know, but you're not at school. So I have to deal with you first because you're my priority. And it was those two worlds coming together.
Yeah.
And,
that is why we are so tired. All you parents, we hear you.
We hear you and we feel. I feel like also prioritizing it, you know, I think that was such a hard thing in the beginning because we were home with our kids all the time and really figuring out what we needed to sustain ourselves through this time and being able to say, you know what, right now I need to go record a podcast and that's what's going to feed my soul and make me feel like I'm productive during this time. Yeah. But like setting those boundaries was super hard for me in the beginning. Okay.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, let's shift a little bit and start talking about, you know, the other stuff, the parts before the pandemic, right? So we know that you've worked since Ben was born, but how soon did you go back, or what was that experience like for you?
Yeah, well, he was about 6 months old when I started auditioning again, and I was definitely out of shape vocally, mentally, physically, all the needs. And but it was and I was very happy to audition and get back. That I remember that mentally going, I adore my this life, but 6 months now of being at home, being that suckling, that beautiful smelling period, and you know, but I am a working gal and I love my job so much and very happy to get back. And I first thing I did was a play.
Oh,
Farragut, Ides of March, film. Bo Willimon on film. I play always wanting to get in doing a bit more street stuff because I'm more mainstream kind of musical theatre stuff. And so that was a nice 6 week job to go back to. And it was through then that I auditioned for The Last Ship on Broadway. That's when that happened.
Wow. He was that young when
he
Last
was
Ship?
That young. So this is why I was going for these auditions going, do you know what? Yeah, Broadway, very funny. I've just got a newborn suckling on my
right.
Right, yeah. So yeah. I we're going nowhere anytime soon. This is all a lovely audition. Let's go and audition, sing for Sting and Joe Mantello and all the work. Isn't it fancy? And then they go, they really like you. Can you go to New York for a recall? I was like, sorry, what now? Beg your pardon. So I was back in it, but that was such a curveball that we got thrown at such a young start as a new mom and stuff. And so we had to get our heads around that really quickly, that this could be a thing. I mean, I was so happy. I had just finished Wicked, I'd just done my first album, doing a play, thought it was, you know, and then an opportunity like Broadway comes around, you're like, what is going on? So then that happened and we all moved to America, to New York. And you know what it's
how
like?
How was he like, he wasn't even a year yet then,
he
probably,
was,
right?
Exactly. So he was about 14 months.
Oh,
he's,
wow.
He took his first steps in New York, in our apartment in
New York, yes.
So, I mean, it was just, yeah. So that was that little, you know, it wasn't just, right, you're back at work. It was like, you're back on, you're in Broadway.
You're on Broadway. Like, right. You're going to wait for you being the lead in this show. I mean, I do think there's something, you know, we've talked about this before with other actors, that once you have a child and your perspective and your priorities shift, there's a weight off. And I'm sure that just had you in prime booking mode, mama, for that Last Ship. You know what I mean? You were like,
you know, Last Ship, get to the back of the queue. Yes, it was. It was take it or leave it. Take it or leave it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. And that was such a beautiful show. For anyone who doesn't know Last Ship,
please say hello.
Thank you. Yeah. Eric was in it as well with you. And you were across the street. Kara and I were at Jersey Boys when y'all were across the street. That was amazing. But I want to give a little shout out to the album, that you guys, it was a beautiful show, one that should have had a much longer run, I think so. And we listened to that. We don't listen to many albums and show tunes, but we have a CD of that in our car and we listen to it because it's Sting. So, you know, it's just beautiful music, but it's also just, it's a gorgeous score. And do yourself a favor and download it, you guys.
It was a dream 4 or 5 months. It really was. It was just dreamy, you know, and first job back and second job back. But, and just to open that door to Broadway, it was incredible.
That's amazing. Was that something that you had wanted?
Oh, are you kidding me? I mean, honestly, you know, when you say, oh, I dreamed of it. You know, when you only dream, you never go, yeah, but yeah, I'm going to try and make it happen. You literally go, well, I mean, you know, it's Broadway, it's America, it's not ever. And then it happens, you go, holy God, how does a wee girl from Belfast end up on Broadway? And that's when I was doing these workshops recently with the kids from Belfast, I was like, guys, it happens, right? See that dream, keep doing it, because it's so it can happen. You know, it's just, it's incredible. And it really, we are in those jobs where those things can change your career and your life overnight. And it was one
of
those moments.
Yeah. I mean, that's something I think that I always say, that it's what keeps us going, right? Is that you never know what call's going to come tomorrow with an audition that will literally change everything. Everything.
Yeah.
You just like almost brought tears to my eyes talking to those kids and saying it is possible. I mean, I think it's so powerful, I think, in this day and age, just for kids to hear, you know, you may not be from a place you think that this is in your future or your reality, but it can be.
And the Belfast mentality, the Irish, Northern Irish, Belfast, it's all very like, no, don't be showing off too much. You're good, but you're not that good. It's very, you know, and the kids, and I had like these 9 kids and literally sat like this on Zoom, pole face, like, can't believe A, they're on screen with me, but then even, and then they sing and they're acting through songs, incredible. And they're like, rah, and then they go straight back to the game. And they're so shy. And I'm like, guys, see the kids I teach in America. I'm like, I threaten them with all the American talent. I'm like, all the 9-year-olds are like, hey, Hoberman, hey. And they're like, okay. I'm like, come on, give me a tell, you know, don't be right. So shy. So I definitely use the Americans to threaten.
Yeah. The Americans, they waste no time. They don't bother with being shy, right? They just are like, look at me. I'm here.
I think a mix of both might be preferred. I think right. A little bit from like meeting in the middle might be the best thing, but
that was definitely a broad stroke. When I was impersonating you, but honestly, it was a joy to work with them and to get to show them that it's, you know, work hard and it's so possible, you know, it's so mm-hmm. possible.
Absolutely.
And so well, how, now, go for it, Kara.
All right. I feel like now hopping back and forth to Broadway is your thing, right? So you came, you did the last ship. I don't know. Did you end up going back to London and then come back, coming back for Wicked right. and then okay. back again and then okay. back for Come From Away. Right. So this is like your life now.
Well, the thing is, we did Come From Away, last ship, and the same director as last ship, Joe, the brilliant Joe Mantello, who directs Wicked. So I text Joe once we got our closing notice on last ship, and I was like, hey, Joe, through my tears, you don't happen to want a particular Irish girl to play a particular green part anytime soon. Like crying while I'm texting him. And he was like, I'm on it. He was on it. He's like, I'm already on it. And they got us back within 6 months whenever the lovely Jackie Burns, I think, was just finishing and I took over. What's her name? Oh, Caroline Bowman.
Oh yeah.
And so we took over and so that's how that happened. And then, you know, I think he felt a bit bad to have to bring me and my family the whole way across the world and then just to, you know, and so I think it was also then because of Wicked, we were able to apply for our green cards. So that's why then I think the doors to Come From Away were open
right.
because
right.
we are more or less a shoe-in and there was right. no massive fees because the fees are extortionate, you know, for fees.
It's not like having to, no longer have to do the visas and the things and the working and the, you know, all the paperwork, all the red tape.
They're like, oh yeah, that's easy.
Yeah. But wait, that means that you were playing. Okay. So here's the thing, Rachel, we talked to Jenny DeNoia, who's a standby at Elphaba.
So much.
Yes. She though, besides her, you are the first mom we've spoken to who played Elphaba while you were a mother. We've had like Stephanie J. Block and Casey Levy and others, but they weren't mothers yet. And not only were you a mother, but if I'm doing the math correctly, Ben was like a toddler.
Ben was two.
Oh, my God. And you were having to do that role. Like, what was...
All right, guys, okay. So here's another. I'm going to take you back a little bit further. Uh-huh. Ben was... 5.5 months in my tummy when I finished my London Wicked run.
Oh, isn't it so special?
He's been on this Wicked journey with me too. So I finished my contract on the 27th of October and he was 5.5 months. We were 5.5 months pregnant. Wow. So I did the show with him and it was hard work as it is, but then being pregnant was like, okay, here's other levels. And then we had a break, did my album, and then last ship happened. So he was two when I took over on Broadway.
Wow. Oh my God.
I wouldn't have done it without my husband. That's the thing. They are our husbands. This is like, you know, there's no way. I rested every morning. He took him to, what was it? Little Seeds, which was the little nursery for a 2-year-old at the time. I couldn't have done any show, let alone Wicked, without my husband.
Oh my God. I'm sure. I mean, shout out to Guy because, you know, that's just like the vocal, I mean, it's so taxing vocally. And I've talked to other Elfies who are like, I don't talk during the day and I don't do this. And, you know, as mothers, we don't have that option. So, or the waking up in the night or early in the morning and you get home from the show and they do those 8 o'clock shows and it's a long one, you know.
5-show weekend.
Late night.
Yeah. 5-show weekend.
Five-show weekend. Oh my gosh, mama. It's like the sheer energy it takes to do it without having a toddler. Yeah. Hats off to you.
Do you know what I would like to say on that? The thing is, what we are so, and what's embedded in us women when this happens and across every show, you compensate. So I know I do anyway. So I do the home thing and I either use or I don't, you know, tell Ben off or I don't correct him or I don't speak to him and I take myself away. just so that I have enough to do Wicked. Mm-hmm. So therefore I am my family's compensating. Mm-hmm. Or I give all that I have and then I go to the show and then that night the show's compensated because of what I do or don't have. But also we make it work. Mm-hmm. You have to, it's like there's no science behind it, but with what you've got, energy, vocal wise, mental energy, health, support from the husband, whatever's going on chemically that day or that week, you have got to make do. You've just got to make it work. And and ultimately, especially with Wicked, that's what you get paid for. That's what you get paid that nice wage for. But at the end of the day, it's up to me and nobody else can do that but us. So we
nobody else can belt those E flats or whatever.
So it's just, and it's a given that we have got to get on with it as mothers. We have to do it.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, but I think that's why these conversations are so important, because they're all the things that no one sees, all the compensations that no one sees or understands when you go back to work after having a kid, especially when you go back to work in this industry, especially when you go back to a role like Alphaba that requires so much of you, where it, you know, it's that have it all mentality, which you can, but you're not going to have it all at 100%. Everything isn't going to maintain the level that it did before you had kids. It's just not.
No, it can't.
And as long as they know that and they're happy with that and you're happy with that, that's okay. And Wicked were so supportive. They were like, go home. You know, if there were shows that were, I was just like, I shouldn't be here. Go home. Just do it. Be with your family. And our beautiful poor dog got knocked down during Wicked and died. Our lovely, beautiful Barney, a little Jack Russell that we brought over with us. And he, and like, I was up going, crying, the tears, my green coming up. Mary Beth was like, Rachel, go home. So, you know, like family, like they were so supportive, like whenever we needed it, you know.
I know. That's so wonderful that they were so supportive. And it is a family. I mean, it is our family. But I know it's like we always, before we had kids at Jersey Boys, Mark Letito, who played Jip DiCarlo, he would come in on Saturday matinee and he'd be like, I was on the soccer field at 8. You know what I mean? Like the things you've already done by the time you even go to work.
Yes.
You know, it's like, I remember there was one day where I had like a soccer practice for Elliot and then a birthday party in the park. And then I had two shows. Do you know what I mean? You're just like, I've already had a full day by the time I get here at 1:30.
But so I think before the matinee.
But this is why I say, like, those is what, for me, Jess, those are the things I missed out on during Wicked because I couldn't do them.
No, that's a whole different.
And this is why I praise my husband, because he's like, don't worry about it. I'll take Ben. I'll go to soccer and the party. And we did that too. I remember in Prospect Park, there was a party and you know, I felt bad, but I had to go, but I can't be there at 8 o'clock in the morning and then go and do two shows at Wicked. So they're the things that I missed. I compensated on.
Totally. Like that. I mean, and it is different for sure. Like when you're a principal and you're carrying a show, definitely there are concessions that we made versus at Jersey Boys when we had a relatively, you know, our show was pretty cool, pretty chill.
Pretty great job, Jess. We've talked about this before.
Yeah. We didn't really break a sweat.
It was amazing. But we've talked about, talking about this, Rachel. So you have a husband who's a director. So obviously he took that time to support you through being Alphaba. How do you guys balance work between each other? Do you have to make choices between who's going to work at what time, or how do you navigate that?
We have definitely had to have those conversations where it's like, right, okay, Rachel, you've had a lovely run of the Alphabet. I'd really love to do some directing now. And I've had to go, okay. okay. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But in my brain, I'm like, I know, but I still, so there's been times where I went, listen, just take me out. But it hasn't necessarily been where I've had to take myself out of work. It's worked out for us, touch wood, pretty okay. So Guy, my husband here in London, very close to us, we run a fringe theatre. So here in London, the theatres above pubs are really, really brilliant. And it's where a lot of new work, fringe work, is really brilliantly created. So Guy has been running a theatre called the Bridge House Theatre here near us in Penge, Southeast London. And that has been his lovely little second home, where he is coached there. He does maybe two shows a year there. So the Christmas show. And so he in fact, during Wicked, he got back to do that. And we actually employed a nanny for like 6 weeks while he went back and did that. And again, there's Ben compensating, not having me and his dad around. There's another example of where you go, you know, he's waking up in the middle of the night going, I don't like her. And you're just going, oh God, what am I doing with my life? You know, so, but that's only had to happen once. And, you know, we really do try and lean and support and make each other's work happen. And, you know, like Guy's coaching, I'm coaching. We've got our diaries, you know, synced up. So I know when he's coaching, I can't book in when he's coaching, things like that, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what else on that? You know, no, we just make sure that we're a tag team. We're a really good tag team with it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that it's, you know, it is, there are benefits to being a two artist household. You know what I mean? Yes. Like in the sense that mm-hmm. I have friends mm-hmm. whose husbands maybe have quote unquote normal jobs, you know, 9 to 5. And so they literally see them as they pass, you know, at the door, as one's leaving to go to the theater. They're like, see you later, have fun, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm.
Which is great for childcare, but not great for your marriage or your, you know, relationship as a family.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, so I was going to say something else on that. No, and just the actual freedom of our jobs that it gives us, that and being, you know, and not having the 9 to 5 or not having the, you know, we love the flexibility and we don't know next month what our schedule is. Right. We actually really love that. You know, to have the same job day in, day out, 9 to 5. And Guy, and the other thing is, we ultimately know we both enjoy when I get a contract in a show, because then therefore we know, well, until Corona, you go, well, there's our next year planned. We now can plan around that.
Right.
And that's what we love. That there is a tiny bit of structure within a very loose kind of lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know that, you know, odds are your schedule will mainly just involve shows and maybe the occasional put in, which is when, for those who don't know, when you put it, a new person joins the cast and you put them in, essentially. Yes. You do the show with them and, you know, so you're doing that in the afternoon. But, but I just think that it's such a lovely gift to have the fluidity. And I know until Corona, man, I mean, I had my year. I was like, all right, Eric's in La Jolla. I'm doing Tina. We're going to do this. And then this show will probably come in. So then, you know, and you have it in your mind. You know, Tina was selling well, and Come From Away is still running. I mean, it's such a great show and it's still running, you know, for eons it will run, I'm sure. Right. But it's
just tell me, what was Eric doing in La Jolla?
Uh-huh. He was doing Fly, which is a retelling of here it was Fly with, he was playing Captain Hook, so there was a retelling of different. I know what you're talking about, but so he was out here and then we've just stayed here, which has been so lovely. I've said it before, it's just such a gift to have the sunshine and the lovely weather and the beaches and the Playhouse. We will work for them forever. they've let us stay here, and it's been a real gift for sure.
And Cara, how many kids do you have?
I have two. Actually, I don't know if you remember, Rachel, but we were at a birthday party together, Lindsay Bradshaw's daughter, Georgia.
So that's a connection. So Lindsay said Cara is right. Okay, yes. I'm with you. So I caught up.
Yeah. So our kids are the same age. One's my oldest is 7 and my son is 3.5 going on 4.
Yeah. He's getting close. He's getting close for sure. I was just thinking about when you talk.
Sorry, Jess, are you in New York?
I'm currently in New Jersey and I wasn't in a show when Corona hit, but my husband has been at the Book of Mormon for a very long time. Thank God. I mean, it's like a government gig and we're very grateful for it, having 2 kids to support. So
I was just thinking when you talk about like the going back and forth and everything, you're not going to remember this at all, Rachel, but I remember this. We were auditioning when Jesse Mueller was leaving Waitress. We were at the audition together to replace her. We didn't chat. Yes. We didn't even like talk really, but you came in with your rolling suitcase and you had literally, I remember like Bernie Telsey, the casting director came out and was like, you just were on stage last night. Like you literally flew overnight and then like rolled your suitcase into Telsey for your audition for, you know, just the lead and Waitress, not a small audition. And then you were getting right back on the plane.
And tell me, what did Bernie Telsey say to me there? And then he was like, what are you doing here? I was like, I beg your pardon?
Right.
What did I always wait for? It's like, no.
Right. Don't
say that.
Right. You're like, Bernie? I just flew on a red eye from London after doing Wicked and I have to go back. Like you were literally turning around.
And I came over as well. That happened to me just not so long ago, auditioning for the production that didn't happen of Secret Garden.
Oh, yeah.
And I was getting down and getting very close and they loved my self-tape. And they were like, listen, can she come over? And I was like, okay, my father-in-law has just died and we're burying him. Mm. And they were like, still, can she come over?
Right. Oh my God. This is real life, the glamour.
Mm-hmm. Right. I was like, okay, we can make this work. Let's get on the plane. God. They were in the room. Literally, I was there that day, the day before. I had a little coaching with them that day of the audition. I had to be out of there for 6 to get to JFK. And they were like, quarter to 6. Yeah, come in.
Right.
I was like, hi, guys. Can I sing for you now? And they were like, oh my God, you're so good. Can we do it again? And I was like, oh my God, I have to bury my father-in-law. And they were like, oh yeah, your parent, I'm so sorry to hear all that. Could you just do it? And then I get home and we do all that business. And they were like, oh, because we were in such a rush, can she come back for another recall?
No.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh my God. So then I was like, so of course, you know, you have this discussion with your agent, American agent, you know, they're representing you. You've got your cards. Are you serious about this? Because if jobs come in and you want recalls, we expect you to go, okay, I can jump in a plane. And that's there's your compensation, right? Mm-hmm. We are in this business and you've got to be open. And it kind of, if the job comes in and that's what they want, then fair enough. So this was the deal. So I was like, okay, but when it's fine in principle. And then it happens and you're like, where am I getting that £1,000? Where exactly am I getting that £1,000? You know, right. But there it is. You have to do it.
Yeah. So, oh my God. So I also love that you say,
and of course, I didn't get it. But you know that.
Always.
You know that when I get into the room. You're like, I might not get this, but this is
it. I have never booked something that I flew in from. Like there was a time period where I lived in LA and I would fly into New York for auditions and I never booked it when I flew in. I was like, when am I going to learn my lesson? Like, just don't spend the $800.
Same.
I'm the same with workshops. So I now don't do workshops or labs.
Oh yeah.
Every lab or every workshop I do, I don't get the job.
Right. Oh my God.
Never doing a lab again in my life.
No. Well, hopefully we'll do some of them sometime. There'll be options. I mean, it's like that's my husband coming out. He's been like, remember when we were actors? I was like, oh my God, we are still actors and we will
We still are.
Oh my God.
I feel like it though.
Oh my God. I love that you say recalls for callback.
Yeah.
What do you guys say?
Callback.
Callback.
And you guys say, I booked it and I go, I got the job.
Right. I also like you've been saying touch wood for knock wood. I just love all these things.
Okay. I do too. I love it.
All the little Irish-isms London
isms. More Irish-isms than like English or across, you know. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Well, so, we
speaking of that, my son, so when, because he was here during Wicked, so he was, I think he was two and a half to three and a half, I think, with Wicked, right? And so he went to, and so he still says to this day, candy, trash can, and what else does he say? There's another one. So he'll still say in a little English accent, Mom, can you put that in the trash can for me? And you're like, it's the bin over here. It's the bin.
Right.
You know, he says,
the bin.
Mm-hmm. Ben, it's you can have a candy, but you do know here we say sweets.
Oh. Does he say French fries or chips?
He says chips.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But actually, funny enough, he did say French fries for a while, but I think he thinks that's French.
Oh, well, French
fries. No, he just
fries.
Says chips. No, just he calls them skinny fries. Skinny fries.
Skinny fries. I was going to say, just skinny start calling fries. Them frites, and then he'll really be confused. Oh my God. Has it been difficult? You know, we've talked about these little, you know, the differences in our accents and our languages and our speaking and the colloquialisms.
Ooh.
Has that been, was that difficult for you with like come from away, they're Newfoundland. I mean, well, that's a whole different accent.
That is. And actually it's closer to my accent than it is than anyone would ever have thought. In fact, when we met the guys from Newfoundland, they sounded more Irish than I do. And I know that's hard to believe, right? But they are with this kind of like funny, not funny. There's nothing funny about it, Rachel. This little Canadian, you know, Canadian twang you can hear now and again.
Yeah,
but just this little, and So when we were getting our dialect coach with Joel, there was two other Irish people in the London cast, and we were actually more angled to go a bit more Canadian, so just speak very much in our own accents and lean more towards the Canadian. So that was, we had to kind of flip it on its head. That was our way around of getting the accent, because we didn't want, also we opened in Dublin, Come From Away premiered in Dublin for 8 weeks at the Abbey Theatre, were transferred to the West End. Again, another compensation. Oh, for 8 weeks over home at Christmas, I was on my own in Dublin, away from the family. We had Christmas definitely in Ireland, but you know, 8 weeks running up to it, it was like, you know, so they're not there. They're not nowhere to seen or heard.
And let's be honest, Rachel, there's something really lovely about not having your kid and, you know, right?
There is that. You're absolutely right.
You know, getting some solid sleep and maybe like thinking, I'll go for a pint, as you would say, probably, after the show, of course.
Yeah,
you
absolutely. Know. Oh, that's dreamy bliss. Right. But, you know, 8 weeks, like, come on.
Well, and it's Christmas, so.
So everything just so unusually kind of just different, and having to navigate your life in a different city, in a country, and, you know, kind of, but still having to hold down a job, and, you know, so all those compensations, and then the digs you get, they're, you know, they were terrible, and having to live with your castmates, and you're like, I could really do like this. I'm so used to living at home, you know, so all that. But when we got to Ireland with the accent thing, they're obviously Irish accents, and they will hear if it's an American, but they won't go, oh, that's a Newfoundland accent, because nobody knows what a Newfoundland accent is supposed to sound like. So they will just sit there as an Irish audience member and go, why are they all speaking Irish? Do you know what I mean? Why are they all sound Irish? So we told, you know, Joel this, and they were aware of this. So we had to very much lean on the Canadian side. And of course, all the English cast members, to an Irish ear, they were just like, why are they all speaking Irish? Why are they all sounding Irish? You know, but in England, in London, it was fine to us. It was one of those kind of things.
So interesting.
I know. I love that. Well, during this time, as we've talked about, you know, there's just been so much sort of upheaval, and the benefits and the parts that we'll take away from this and the lessons we'll have learned, and hopefully we'll be back to work soon. But what we asked our audience this week over on Instagram, what could you not have survived this time without? And it can be, you know, is it wine? Is it run? Or is it a yoga? Is it your child? You know what I mean? Like, it could be something very flippant and very basic, if you will.
Honestly,
you know, but
I think actually being in our home here. See, just in our physical house, but also just three of us together. Mm-hmm. Like if I had been doing this in New York, oh my, there's no way. Why would you even contemplate being on your own during this time anyway, when you've got a husband and a son? But I think just what we know is this house here in London, Southeast London, we know it. We love it so well. We're here 8 years. It just actually, this is our roots. This is our foundations. Just knowing the ground around us has just kept us nice and steady and grounded, and you know, and home base, having our real home base. Because for the last 2.5 years we've been going, are we going to America, are we not, should we go when we've got a job, should we not, you know, because with our green cards we're like, well, we could all go now and work and be in school and be part of an American New York society. So we just haven't had that time to, or we haven't had the opportunity until Come From Away happened, and that, you know, so we've been very unsteady and uncertain. So just to know that we're not planning to go to New York or not planning to try and get jobs over there. And actually we are so lucky to have a beautiful home here in London. Just that, knowing that home base was there was a real blessing.
I was so happy to hear when you said, like, the day after Broadway shut down, you got on a plane and went home, because when it was first announced, it was a month, you know what I mean? And that could have meant anything for you. I don't know, you know, and I'm just so happy that you, because everything just went downhill very, very quickly. Right. And to be with family, just like you, Jess, you know, got on a plane and went out to be with Eric. I think that was so imperative for people to be with their people.
That's it. And that's your home base. You're being with that smell that you know and that recognize, and that those chats that you know, it's that. Yeah. But, you know, ultimately, if it was something materialistic, it would be this house. It's a home base. You know, it's our grind level, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I feel like I want to go to the bar with you right now.
I know.
Yes!
Just have a drink.
Yeah, me too. And it's only 9:15. Hey, good morning. No, Jess, I can't.
What time is it there in California?
It's 9:18 a.m.
And Cara, you're...
It's 12:18. It's noon. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And it's almost dinner time for you.
Absolutely is.
That is crazy. Time zones are nuts. Oh my God. But I'm so glad we were able.
It's like, what? You've already had today? You've done this day? It's nuts.
Oh my God.
When we were, my husband and I were in Australia for about 3 months with our family. He was mounting Book of Mormon there. And it was so hard to wrap your mind around. Like, Christmas happened and we're like, we've already had Christmas. How, like, the rest of the family didn't, you know, it was just so bizarre. Time zones.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And,
a warm Christmas. Like, wow.
Oh my gosh. It was 105 degrees on Christmas Day. It was so hot. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What an opportunity.
Well, I'm so glad we were able to make it all work. All three time zones.
Yeah.
we figured it all out.
On our second attempt.
Don't worry. All good. Thank you so much, Rachel, for joining us. I can't wait for you to come back over and us all. And then we could get Lindsay Bradshaw. We'll pull her in and then we'll all, like, you know.
Yeah.
Go for drinks.
What a journey they have had. Like, wow.
Oh, I know.
What a beautiful, strong family unit they are too, aren't they? Just
for sure.
Gorgeous people.
For sure. But we'll all have to get our kiddos together and have some drinks and hang out. So, but please be well.
You too. Thanks for having me as your last one of the season. That's such an honor.
Oh, the finale.
Well done.
Beautiful.
Thanks.
Keep it up. Keep up the mama work.
Yes. For sure. Thanks so much.
Lots of love. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. Special shout outs to Rachel Spencer Hewitt for our fabulous graphic, Kristen Anderson Lopez, Bobby Lopez, and Justin Ward Weber for our awesome theme song, our producers Dori Berenstein, Alan Seals, and of course, the Broadway Podcast Network for bringing us to you.
If you like what you're hearing and you want to keep the conversation going, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and of course, subscribe and review us wherever you listen to your podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.